Hello, it is Wednesday, the 24th of October, 2012, and you are listening to episode 2 of The Loose Bag. I'm Ed Donaldson, with me, Dan, the Segway Hatcher.
That's not my name.
And Henry Hebron.
Hello.
How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you, Henry?
I'm pretty good.
How are you, Ed?
I'm also good. Well, that's out of the way.
Done.
Nice and quick. We'll get this done
section.
In 5 minutes.
Right.
So, Dan, how was closing up the shop? I remember you talked about that last week.
It was fine. My aim was to beat one of our team leaders that he's not there anymore, but he used to get out on his first times about 11:45. I got out at 11:05. So I was good. No one said anything bad.
It's a real record breaker there. Anyway, have you been up to anything in the last week, Ed?
Nothing which would fit into the catch-up section.
Cool.
Excellent.
Can people hear me?
Yeah.
Okay,
yes.
My internet is... I've got to go and turn off my router and back on again. Because, Ed, you completely cut out there. And I got a little warning sign. My router cuts out a lot. But it's okay if you can still hear me.
Maybe you should just turn your router off and don't turn it back on and you're out of here.
Yeah, you only get one chance. If you lose connection, that's it. If I have to record this thing by myself, I will.
Anyway.
What have you been up to? Has the blind lady given you more careers advice?
No, unfortunately not. I went to the doctors last week. I went because I'm not sleeping very well. From what I've heard people say about sleeping problems, they go to the doctors and it's almost impossible to actually get any medication. They just suggest kind of techniques. But when I went there, I told her what the problem was. She was just like, oh, okay, give you these sleeping pills. It was just, it was almost straight away. It was like...
Maybe it's a trait of chemists. Because my uncle... basically does the job that you want to do when you're older. He has narcolepsy. So.
Oh, excellent.
I think it's just because chemistry is really boring.
That's great. Whoa.
Why would that mean he can't sleep at night?
I thought narcolepsy was when you just fell asleep randomly.
No, it's like insomnia. The narcolepsy leads to insomnia, which leads to narcolepsy.
Okay.
Cool.
Well, I'll have to look into that at a later date.
At night you can't sleep because randomly during the day you've been falling asleep.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And then because you haven't slept at night, you're tired during the day, which causes you to fall asleep randomly.
So anyway, at the doctor's, she said, I'm going to give you some sleeping pills. And she wrote up the prescription or whatever she does. And she gave it to me and she said, oh, here are your sleeping pills. And I was thinking, that's a piece of paper right there. That's not sleeping pills. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing with this. I've never got a prescription before.
Oh, Henry.
She gave me some shitty directions to the pharmacy. I had to look it up on my phone. Eventually I found it. And then I had to sit in there for ages. And £7.65 it cost me.
You're a uni student, you shouldn't have to pay.
Yeah, I hadn't filled out the form. But it occurred to me when I was in there that when people go into a pharmacy, they just automatically become just like mental. They just seem very odd.
What do you mean?
Like what?
Well, like when I've been in pharmacies before, it seems like everyone's just got mental disorders. But actually, when I went in there myself, I found myself acting a bit differently. I was talking really quietly. I must have seemed kind of mental myself, so...
I've never noticed that.
Okay, maybe I'm just mental.
As long as you didn't start talking really quietly and then just suddenly speak really loud at the end of a sentence, then...
Yeah, and there was a section in the pharmacy that was... It's called Lloyd's Pharmacy Better Life.
Yeah.
And it's basically just various tools to help old people have better lives. So it's like...
Dual softener, Viagra.
No. It was like walking stick replacement parts and a magnifying glass. One of my favourite ones, though, was the spring-loaded day-by-day pill box.
Spring-loaded?
Spring-loaded, yeah. I've seen pill boxes before, but the spring-loaded, like, does it throw it out the box into your mouth or something?
Oh, that would be quite cool, but I reckon it would just terrify any old person.
Just hit them in the eyes.
Now I need eye tablet.
Yeah, well, I have to put them in there and it's just a vicious circle. One of the other products in this section was my favourite one actually was the Big Digit Talking Watch. I just imagine all the like old people trying to have a conversation with their watches and just, like the watch talking to them. And but if you can see, that feature is completely useless because you have to wear the watch. I guess you could leave the watch on the other side of the room and like lay in bed and you could just shout time and then it would like tell you from the upfront. Might as well have a clock if that's the case.
I would love it if like the sort of Siri thing, like things you talk to, whether if you sound aggravated, they also sound aggravated back. So if you're like,
yeah.
Time! And it's like, it's 8:00! 5 minutes later than when you last asked. Stop asking.
Someone needs to go to sleep.
Yeah, that would be quite funny.
Oh, well, like, if you ask something for directions, if while it's loading, instead of actually just saying loading, it's just like, Turn left in 100 meters, I think.
Or if you ask it for directions and it's like, well, maybe £10 would drop my memory.
It just opens up like a PayPal link.
That would be hilarious.
Brand new feature in the iPhone 6. You can bribe Siri to work properly.
But I bought New Scientist this week. I was reading an article last night, and it was about organ donors and how when they first started doing it, they could only do it from people who are still alive, and they could do kidneys and stuff. Obviously, they couldn't do a heart, or that person would die. Eventually, they brought out a law that said if someone qualified as being brain dead, you could just take their organs, and it would be counting as them being dead. But then they realised that there weren't enough brain dead people, so they kept broadening the criteria to be brain dead, and eventually it was your heart can still be beating, your brain can show activity, and you can be moving about and you're still classified as brain dead. So imagine them asking, saying, oh, it's a tragic news, your son is brain dead, and the person being well, I just saw him make a sandwich, he's out in the garden playing with the dog. Oh, I'm sorry, he's definitely brain dead.
Inside, he may look active, but inside there's nothing going on.
Trust me, I'm a doctor. Anyway, has anyone else got anything interesting that they'd like to talk about?
I have, actually. So, how are people finding the X Factor this year?
Really?
I'm just throwing it out there, you know.
No, I've actually really enjoyed this year's X Factor because I haven't seen any of it. And in the past, I've had to sit through some of it and, it was shit. But now I haven't seen any of it. I really enjoy it. It's a lot better than last year.
2Ks.
I do actually quite like it, but I want to know who votes as well. Who seriously thinks, oh god, I really hope they stay.
So it's all rigged, Dan.
Everyone says this. I refuse to accept this.
No, entirely rigged.
It's all fixed.
Oh, it's a sham.
Would it really matter if it was fixed, if it produced better TV?
Well, you could.
Quite scandalous because people are having to pay to vote.
Yeah, but.
And the money's going nowhere.
They could have something in the terms that just says they're paying for nothing.
Yeah, I think they'd be found out pretty quick.
You could just be considered a donation to the show. They enjoy watching it, does it really matter whether... Because they would probably rig it so it gives it more drama and makes it more interesting.
Why are we even talking about this? It's just a glorified karaoke competition, isn't it?
I want to see the televised glorified rock band tournaments.
Well, I don't think they're far away.
That would be entertaining, to say the least.
Anyway, let's just not talk about the X Factor ever again. Nothing, enough's been said. Anyway, Ed, have you got anything? Anything?
Am I bringing anything to this podcast?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I have an interesting thing. Well, I find it interesting, an interesting thing to talk about, which is specific to the University of Reading, as far as I know. Well, we have this phenomenon known as Running Girl, and I've never seen her, and all I've heard is word of mouth, rumours and things. No one's ever got any footage of Running Girl, but basically she runs everywhere, and that is all I have to say about that.
A shout out to Running Girl.
Yeah, my friend Beth sat next to her once in the library, and she even ran to the printer and back, and she just runs. I think she probably has some sort of mental issue.
I used to run everywhere. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No, I still run upstairs and downstairs. I don't run to lectures.
My mom sends me to go get something from the shop, I just run to the shop and run back. I don't think there's anything wrong with running to where you want to go.
Would you still run everywhere now?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
That's really funny.
I'm not going to just run run with someone if we're going into town. I wouldn't run all the way to town though either.
I can't believe we run. Oh, maybe it's a pretty common thing then.
Well, I guess not. No, if someone's been singled out just because they run everywhere.
I never run anywhere. I cycle everywhere, I guess, so it's a similar kind of thing, but it's just more accepted, I think, than just running everywhere.
You wouldn't cycle to the printer because you wouldn't bring your bike in. Get on your bike, cycle to the printer, and then cycle back. But you should start doing that, because then you'd get the nickname Cycling Boy.
Yeah, but we have revolving doors in the library. I'm not sure I'd get my bike through. And once, with the revolving doors, there was a guy in front of me, and I accidentally ended up in the same compartment as him in the revolving doors. And I just crept up behind him and I said, "Hello." And then when we got out the other side, it was so awkward. I was just like, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I don't know why I just did that." And then I just walked away. But it was, I don't know why I did it. I didn't.
Is it a social faux pas then to be in the same compartment as someone else?
Well, I think it's the social faux pas to creep up behind them and whisper into their ear when you don't know them.
Really? I wouldn't have thought.
Ed is just so odd. He runs everywhere, whispers to people he doesn't know.
Hello.
Anyway.
And then he runs away again.
I run up behind people, whisper in their ear and run off.
I think we should go move on now to the one-word haiku section.
I'm not going to go first because I think you have the same one-word haiku as me, Henry.
I can't do. There are so many words.
Go on, do your one-word haiku.
My one-word haiku is intrude.
Oh, well, no, that's not the same as mine. Mine,
oh, I know it
mine
be.
Is haiku.
Oh, that's lame.
Yeah. Ed, what's your one-word haiku?
Rubidium.
Nice.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I like that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
okay,
on to the next section. That's out of the way.
Take us away, Dan Hatcher.
Yeah. With what, reviews?
Yes, that is what.
Okay, well, I'd like to hear what Henry has to review.
I'm still not even sure about this review, but I listened to two music albums over the weekend. Mm-hmm. I decided to choose two that are quite contrasted. Well, very, 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 very contrasted. So I chose Unhallowed, which is the first album by the Black Dahlia Murder, and another first album called Up All Night by One Direction.
Oh.
So I don't even know why I chose these now, but I...
Black Dahlia Murder is brutal.
Yeah.
One Direction are brutal, but in a kind of completely different way.
In a cute kind of way.
Like, I'd want to brutally rip out my ears.
Brutalicus. Yes.
So, I think I'll start with Unhallowed. It was mostly pretty samey.
Yep. Yeah.
As is, like, death metal.
I have Deflorate, and it's very... Like, and every song could have any song title from that album. Yeah.
But, I don't know, I could appreciate, like, the work that had gone into it, and it was quite fun to listen to, I guess. And lyrically, it wasn't, like, as brutal as, like, Cannibal Corpse. It's actually quite poetic, really.
Yeah, no, that's what I like about them.
Yeah,
because a lot of the songs on the album I have is like anti-religion, or there's a song about cryogenic freezing, and there's something about listening to death in death metal that gets kind of boring, but the lyrics are really good on this album.
Well, in the first one there are themes like the undead, satanic worship, murder, etc., but it was actually pretty well executed, I think.
Yeah,
fair enough.
I love his vocals as well.
Yeah, that's what another
They're
thing I was
very
gonna say.
Good.
The vocalist in the band is actually really good.
We actually saw them. He's really fat. He does not look like he should do what he does. He's quite a large guy.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
He reminded me almost of like Jack Black in a way when I saw him.
Yeah.
Apparently people had sex in the mosh pit when that happened, but I don't believe it because we're standing right next to that mosh pit.
That naked guy, his penis touched my hand.
What did you say, sorry?
His penis touched my hand. You know, he got like crowd surfed out and then he came back. Yeah. As he ran past us, his penis hit me on the hand.
Oh
my god.
I bet you haven't washed that hand since.
No.
Kept it in a jar, in a sealed jar.
What, his hand?
Yeah.
Chopped it off and put it in a jar.
I don't need you anymore. Your purpose has been fulfilled.
But basically, with
now
Unhallowed,
you right hand, get to work.
Hey, this is the tangent. I'm trying to review something here.
Yeah, but I've got nothing to say about that, so I'm trying
to
tangent.
Well, I've got stuff to say about it. It's my review. Anyway, sorry to be so horrible to you guys. What's I going to say? There's not much variety, as I already said, in the vocals, and I think they could. I reckon it could do with some clean vocals. I know the fans of that kind of music seem to hate clean vocals.
Well, that's not really what they come there for, is it?
No, but I don't think it would take away from the brutalica of it.
As I Lay Dying have done it on their most recent album, and I think it sounds better than their.
Are As I Lay Dying that religious death metal band?
Possibly.
They might be, yeah. I think they're Christian metal, yeah.
There are quite a few of them.
That's always come across, seemed to me to be a really weird combination.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, tangenting away from some...
Well, I want to hear about the One Direction album.
Well, I haven't given my score for this one yet.
All right. Oh, should we talk about the new systems?
Yeah.
Yeah, you
go
want me
it,
to
Ed.
Talk about my system?
Oh.
Yes.
In case you don't fully understand it yet.
Well, it is kind of confusing.
No, it's... Well, it makes perfect... No, it doesn't... I don't know what... Anyway.
Let me just... go.
Okay, well, my system is the Lose-O-Meter. It operates in a system of lose bags, which is an entirely unique kind of unit. It can't be converted from any other unit, so it's quite odd in that way. And the scale on the losometer goes from 0.5 to 7.5. And the values you choose with the rating system must be an integer, apart from 0.5, 3.5, 4.5, and 7.5. So you've got kind of quite a range there, really.
Those aren't integers, though, are they?
No, that was what I said. They must be integers except for 0.5, 3.5, 4.5, and 7.5.
Oh, right.
So you can choose those ones. They're the only non-integer values you can choose between 0.5 and 7.5. So, 0.5. Thoughts?
Wait, so 0.5, 3.5,
yeah.
5.5 and
7.5.
4.5.
4.5. And 7.5.
The system's quite confusing.
And it's the losometer.
The losometer.
And it's measured in lose bags.
Lose bags.
So one lose bag is like... What's that the equivalent of?
I can't do equivalents, like I said, Ed. Can't be converted.
I know what else.
What's your system, Ed?
Well, my system is we review things in regards of to how much they lose. So 5 out of 5 is something which loses horribly, and 0 out of 5 or 1 out of 5, I haven't decided on that, is something which is actually good. So
I think 0 out of 5.
0 out of 5. Doesn't lose at all.
It's but 0 out of 5 would be very good. Anyway, yeah. Your system is clearly better than mine, so... Yeah. You know how much time I put into this fucking system? Almost a whole minute I probably spent on that thing.
I wouldn't expect any more.
Okay. Well, so the lose... What's your system called? It doesn't even have a name, for God's sake.
The lose bag seal of approval.
The lose bag seal of approval. That's quite an inappropriate name.
The seal of approval is just a yes or no.
No,
you know.
It's on a gradient of 0 to 5.
Okay.
Okay.
So, how can something earn the seal of approval?
It's more of a seal of disapproval, I suppose.
Yeah, but nonetheless, what's the threshold?
4 or 5, I reckon.
Cool.
Okay, 4 or 5, we'll make it 5.
Okay, so if it gets 5, it gets the...
The seal of disapproval.
The seal of disapproval, and we'll send the person a golden shit on a stick, I suppose, as a trophy.
Right.
Yeah, an actual shit coated in gold.
No, we get someone to eat loads of gold.
Oh, okay, oh. I see.
And if we don't have enough money, just horrible diarrhea.
Okay, well, so, using this system, how would I rate Unhallowed by the Black Dahlia Murder? No, I was just asking myself that question. That wasn't to you guys.
I thought you were going to get us to review things for you to check that we were listening.
I'd probably say 3 out of 5. Well, that sounds bad, doesn't it? I mean, it's their first album, so... I don't know, I think 3 out of 5 on the Loseberg seal of disapproval or whatever the system's called. So, 3 loose bags.
three loose bags, yes.
Yeah, so... You know, it could be improved, obviously. But it's not that bad.
No.
So, what reviews have you guys got prepared? At all, if you have any.
I do. I, at some point this week, watched the film The Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Oh, yeah.
Which,
Is that Emma Watson?
Yeah, she's a supporting role in this. It's, I don't want to give away too much of the film, really.
Go on, but don't give a shit.
Yeah, it's three teens. Well, it's three mainly, but then they've got their like friend circle, so it's probably about 6 or 7. But it's about getting through high school. But it
sounds like Lizzie McGuire.
It's not like a normal coming of age drama.
Lizzie McGuire.
It's I don't know because I can't give away the film. But you find out things throughout the film about why the main character acts how he is. He's like really introverted and. Doesn't like to make friends and stuff like that.
Okay.
I really liked it. I think it's more towards Donnie Darko than your typical drama.
Oh. Because Donnie Darko was such a fantastic film.
Well, you know, because he's got... What did he have? Schizophrenia, was it?
I don't think there was any problem, like, specifically expressed, but there was something.
He had magic powers. That is actually a plot point.
He could see rabbits.
No, he also has telekinesis and super strength, though they never tell you this.
Oh. So what? It doesn't make any difference to the film, Ed. You you point these things out as bad points in the film, but if you just watch the film without knowing those things, then it...
Well, because at the end of the film, he pulls the plane out of the sky into the thing, and it's like...
But I didn't need to know that when I watched the film.
I don't know. It's quite... It doesn't make a lot of sense unless you actually read into it and find out why any of these things happened.
Anyway...
I just quite enjoyed the feel of it, really, but we're not talking about Donnie Darko.
I like that film, so yeah. The Perks of Being a Wallflower, I thought the characters were really good, like it was a bit different to normal coming-of-age dramas. I really liked it, and I am going to give it 1 on the Lose Bag rating.
Whoa.
Wow.
That's the highest rating yet.
Well, no, because I guess under the new rating, the Weather Girls would have 0 out of 5.
Yeah, but I mean, using the new rating, that's the best one we've had yet. Okay. So is that all, Dan? Is that what you have to say?
I think so. I haven't written it down. I've just done it off the top of my head. But yeah, what's yours, Ed? What's your review?
Well, firstly, I want to review Dishonored.
Okay.
I want to go back to that, because I finished that now.
Okay.
And I feel like the score I gave it was a bit too generous, to be honest.
Oh.
You know I said I was 9 hours through, and I just started playing, I'm 9 hours through.
Yep.
I'd played 12 hours when I'd finished.
Oh, so okay. So not particularly long.
Not particularly long. The ending wasn't very good. Games were kind of a bit meh in the end. Like, I guess the gameplay was kind of fun, but it wasn't really a lot of payoff in the story, really.
Mm.
Like, things they introduced to me early on, and I thought, oh, well, I've got another, 15 hours left, and they'll explain all this, and, this will actually build to something. It was like, no, game over, 3 hours later.
So was it like The Room, with the things they introduced into that, and then just... Oh,
it was slightly better than The Room, but I'll probably give it, a 3.
The Room. Whoa, it's gone down quite a bit.
Well, we now have a scale which basically goes from 1 to 6, I suppose.
Yes, but 0 to 5, technically.
Yeah.
But I know what you mean, yes.
The Room was the film that Nick had, wasn't it?
No.
Where things just kind of happened and never got explained? Or am I thinking of something else?
No, I think you're thinking of an anime.
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't... I've not seen The Room. Nick doesn't like The Room, because...
No.
I love The Room. But anyway, I guess...
Did I watch that with you?
Yeah.
I like showing you life-changing films.
I wouldn't call that life-changing.
Oh,
did you show Henry Fight Club?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Fight Club.
I also showed you X-Men First Class. That changed your life as well.
Oh, I didn't like that film very much.
And The Avengers. Did I show you that?
Yes, I didn't like that at all. Anyway, I guess it's back to me for my One Direction review. Well, basically, it was shit. This is what I got to say about it. Up All Night by One Direction.
Because?
Same old useless stripe.
Elaborate.
Yeah, the voices are pretty boring, actually. Their singing voice is pretty boring. And at some points, actually pretty weak, surprising. Well,
listening to the entire album, front to back?
I actually listened to... I alternated between... One Direction and the Black Dahlia Murder, okay. So that was an interesting experience.
What was your favourite song from their album?
I can't even remember a single one.
Oh.
I mean, they were all so boring.
I've never heard One Direction, so I'm actually going to listen to a song now. Just
don't
quickly.
Bother. Well, I'm talking here.
Yeah, I can multitask.
Okay. So the themes, lyrically, are just the same old shit.
Girls.
Pardon?
Girls.
Girls, just like... They're basically just phrases to do with physical love, strung together to make a song.
There is nothing.
It was pop music, basically. And even if I did enjoy the music, I don't know if I'd be able to give any credit to the band, because they had 20 producers and about 200 different writers.
Yeah.
So in a band like One Direction, is every member that's known a singer?
Yes, which is completely pointless. They get rid of 4 of them. You only need one of them. You really don't need the
rest of that shit. None of those, I imagine, make the actual music, like the guitar.
No.
I don't know. Does it have guitar and drums? I assume it has.
Yeah, I think so. I think they do play some of the instruments, but as far as writing is concerned, there is one song that they're credited with, a song called Taken. And it's basically especially just like the chords from
Taken.
More than
good
a
film.
No, the chords from Taken. No, the chords from More Than a Feeling by Boston. Pretty much throughout.
It's a good start.
I no,
can see where
but
they
without
from.
without any quality of like any of the quality from that song. And but credit where it's due. It didn't sound any shitter than the other songs, so they could probably do away with about 40 of the writers or just and all, most of the band, if you could call it that. I mean,
let me get this straight. You went in with low expectations. And
well, no, I tried to go in with an open mind into both of the albums. I'd never heard either of the albums before. And I'd never listened to a whole pop album before. I've just heard the singles on the radio and they've always been shit. But the other songs on the pop album were actually even worse than
singles.
Well,
that tends to be how it works, I'm afraid.
No.
The singles
but I didn't think it'd get much worse.
And then like 12 bad songs. And the singles sell the albums. You know,
you've got to say, I just gave up in the end.
An album of singles.
Yeah.
In the words of Billy Corgan, of course. He's a genius.
He's really not a genius.
Which one's Billy Corgan?
The singer from the Smashing Pumpkins.
Oh.
No, because that video you sent me, he didn't seem to have any real point to what he was saying. He didn't know what he was talking about.
Why is everyone still talking about going to the disco?
The world's burning down. Yeah, that was funny, but. Yeah, anyway, let's not review Billy Corgan.
I give him
a night,
zero, because he's amazing.
I think Up All Night might get my seal of disapproval already, nice. So early on in the system. I mean, I don't think it could be much worse.
One Direction can be our first seal of disapproval.
If I compare the two albums, I mean, there's not much I can compare between them. They're both kind of boring, but as far as the level of interest, Up All Night was so dull throughout, and Unhallowed was actually mildly interesting, but just kind of samey. So, I think I'd give Up All Night. I think I'll give them the seal of disapproval. So we can send them a piece of shit on a stick or whatever.
I'll tweet them later.
I was just thinking, at the end of the year, can we have like a of the year awards and call it the Losies?
Yeah,
maybe
we sure can.
Yeah, why not? If we get that far.
So it's like worst film of the year, worst.
I mean, we're like 10 weeks away
good.
From the end of the year. If we can, if we're still here on episode 12, then we'll do it.
So, Dan, have you got another review?
No, I don't. I don't.
You don't? Great. Well, this is a two-review system. That's how it worked last week. I only prepared one.
Well, I told you I was going to review a Black Dahlia Murder album, but it was a one-word. It was a one-word review, which was brutal.
So, Ed, have you got anything else to review or re-review?
I can review Sleeping Dogs, which is a game I've been playing, but.
Of course.
While you've been talking, I've been eating this new chocolate by Cadbury's, so I might review that instead.
Which one is it?
It's this new Oreo chocolate.
I ate that. Ah.
And it's fucking amazing.
It's good, yeah. I don't even like Oreo. It was alright.
Well, I basically reviewed it there, so now I'll just describe it. Basically, what it is, it's you get your standard dairy milk, which is already good, and inside it's sort of got like this vanilla-y creamy stuff, like chunks of Oreo biscuit in. Pretty good.
Oh, it sounds so good. I wish I had it right now. So is it like a dairy milk bar?
Yeah.
Okay, that sounds really good. I want one now. So that's the review section over. Oh, wait, how many lose bags?
How bad is dairy milk with Oreo? Oh, well, it doesn't do very well at being bad.
Oh, no.
It's 1 out of 5, to be honest. Maybe 0 out of 5.
Whoa.
It's awful at being shit.
Well, that's good.
It wasn't shit at all.
Yeah, okay, so 0 out of 5. So we've got straight away 1 end of the spectrum and the other end of the spectrum sorted.
Yeah.
Good.
Balance. Our scale goes from dairy milk with Oreo to Up All Night.
By One Direction.
Which I reckon if you're the type
It's quite a good scale.
If you're the type of person who likes One Direction, you probably wouldn't mind just sitting down eating stuffing your face full of chocolate while listening to them. I can kind of picture that stuff.
And crying.
Yeah. I love you, Harry.
Is it sexist in my mind's eye that this is a female?
No.
No, well, I was imagining
I can't
a
imagine
well.
A male One Direction fan.
Just sitting there, like on the edge of his bed, like eating loads of
when
dairy
will
milk
things get better?
Oh, sorry to go back to it, but there's the really fat girl.
Yeah.
I was imagining her eating loads of chocolate and listening to One Direction.
I don't remember this fat girl.
Okay.
Well, then go and watch Donnie Darko.
I could just Google Donnie Darko fat girl, which is what I was going to do.
Don't bother. The moment's gone. Okay, so is everyone free with the review section?
Yep. Take us away, Dan.
What? With what? I don't know what's next.
A segue.
What am I segueing to?
Well, what do you think is next?
I don't have a list in front of me.
Well, what was next last time?
Questions. Let's do some questions.
Emails. You can send your emails to theloosebag@gmail.com.
What's in the email box today, Ed?
First in the email box, we have a bit of fan mail. Comes in from Hank Taylor, age 43. Says, "Hey dudes, I'm Hank Taylor, age 43.
Yeah, we got it.
Your Bloodstock breakfast sounds incredible, man. Rock on. Seeing as Henry seems to be low on food, I wonder if any of you would consider eating your own feces for survival. Peace out."
That's an interesting question. That was actually some genuine fan mail as well, wasn't it? Well, no, not entirely. Anyway.
What?
I think it was as close as we're going to get.
I'd just like to say I haven't written anything to the email this week, so everything's new to me.
Okay. So would I eat my own feces to survive? I'm not sure it's actually particularly efficient to eat your own feces.
It's not nutritional, because your body's already taken out the nutrition it needs. It's all because it's a waste product.
But with some animals like guinea pigs
and rabbits,
do it. They eat their feces again because they didn't get enough out of it the first time, which seems like, why haven't they kind of evolved out of that?
Because they just like eating poo.
It works fine, just eating the feces.
There was a news thing I read a while ago. I think it was on a site called Daily Tech, which said... that they managed to, the Japanese scientists found a way of making like fake steak kind of meat from human excretion.
Wow.
So, if someone managed to take poo and turn it so it was indistinguishable from a delicious steak, then maybe.
What scary world we're living in all of a sudden. I'm terrified. I'm never going outside again. Once now you told me that,
Could
be an indistinguishable
steak.
I just brought it up here. They cook the bacteria to kill them, extract the proteins, add some soy protein, and then change the colour of it.
Oh, it's basically just like corn then, isn't it? Or that kind of thing, isn't it?
So they turn shit into corn, which is kind of taking it a bit down, I would imagine.
Maybe that, I don't know.
But,
Time to our, well, I would, to go if, to our subsection. Is Henry a vegetarian today?
No, I'm not a vegetarian today. I had pork chop sandwich.
Okay.
Were you a vegetarian yesterday?
No, I haven't been for ages now. But I might be next week, so, you know, keep...
Okay.
Keep
well,
your ear to the
ground. Continue with the emails.
No, I haven't finished... I haven't answered this question yet. So if, well, we, would, if we were trying to survive in the wild, we wouldn't be able to turn our own feces into a steak. And I don't... No, I don't think I would. I think it would just make me throw up, and then I would lose even more, and I'd have to eat the sick, and that would make me throw up, and it would just...
Just
no, it wouldn't go well,
indeed.
Would it?
The only way I'd ever eat feces if I was made into some sort of millipede.
What?
What? The human centipede, perhaps.
Yeah, that's what I was referencing, but...
Yes, I got it.
Yeah,
I
didn't. Thanks for making it really less subtle.
You're welcome. Anyway, has anyone else got anything to say about the feces eating?
No, not really.
I'm very glad.
Annabelle Marvin writes in
again.
Good. She says, "Hey guys, just sending an email to say how much I am loving your podcast. Have sent it to all my family and friends. They are so hilarious." I don't know if she's talking about her family and friends or us.
Was that she was doing a review of her family and friends for us? Well, that's not really how it worked, Annabelle. So
my family and friends are hilarious. I sent them your podcast.
She doesn't. It doesn't sound like Annabelle to me. I mean, I know her pretty well.
You three together just remind me of my brothers and family back at home in Australia.
Oh, not again!
What?
Didn't she say that last week?
I don't think so.
I'm pretty well, not in the edited version, but she definitely mentioned Australia last week.
No, she didn't.
I don't remember this.
Well, I definitely. Jesus Christ! How did that even? Maybe.
No, she didn't. I'm looking at all the past emails.
No, it's just maybe one of someone else that heard that's heard about Annabelle Marvin said that.
No, she only sent one email in.
Okay, well, thanks, Annabelle, for telling us about your family and friends in Australia.
Yeah.
So, Ed, on the Feedbird, when we checked out earlier, were there any listeners from Australia?
No.
Okay.
On the top ten list, it's all UK. Though it only says we've got one listen, so it's not really working with the rest of the feed, so I'm not sure what's going on there.
Okay. Well, I believe we have some more emails.
We have another one from Annabelle Marvin.
Yeah.
Which says, "Dear Loseberg, it's come to my attention that there is someone posing as me, and I'd like to point out that the bitch is a fake."
God.
Oh, I get it.
So,
don't fall for her tricks. She's a wily one. She has no fucking right to be pretending to be me, and I'm downright pissed off that she would even try this shit. Keep up the good work, Annabelle Marvin, aged 7.
Well, and she knows a lot of expletives for a 7-year-old.
Yeah, don't worry, we'll teach her some more. Just keep listening.
So I don't know what to think of that, because the first one, it didn't seem like her kind of style, like, talking, I don't know. But the second, which one's the fake?
I assume it's the one which is annanaelmarvin@live.co.uk.
Live.
I think it's probably at Live, isn't it?
No, at Live.
Okay, well, that one, well, that's that problem solved then, I guess.
Yes, I suppose so. It's a fake.
What do you mean, a fake? I don't know what you're talking about. So, are there any more questions or emails?
Yeah, Brian Adastros writes in.
Oh, Brian Adastros.
yeah. And he asks, what's worse, having having expectations that are too high or having no expectations at all? Which I think is
a very vague question. Yeah. I'm not sure I can even answer that. Having high expectations, obviously, I don't know, it's so vague, but if you have high expectations, you're more likely to be disappointed, I guess, but you have more motivation to try and reach those expectations if there are expectations in yourself, but it was so vague, you know, what the fuck is he talking about? If you have no expectations at all, then you're probably quite mentally lost in this world if you just don't expect everything is completely unexpected. I'm not sure that's what he meant, but that's a serious problem, I guess, for most people. I guess that's like Alzheimer's, isn't it?
Well, I've gone into things not having any expectations for them.
But not your whole life.
Oh, yeah. So either every aspect of your life, you just have way too high expectations.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess either of those. Oh, what is worse? What would be worse? Having no expectation for anything, or having everything you expect, your just expectations are way higher than what you actually get.
Well, if your expectations were always higher than what actually happened, then I'm sure you'd change. You'd just become a largely negative person.
You'd just always
be
disappointed.
Really disappointed.
It'd be weird, because you'd always be disappointed, but you'd still remain an optimist, because your expectations have to always be too high for the purpose of this scenario.
It's just horrible.
The question's quite strange, though, because the question isn't, would you rather be an optimist or a pessimist? It's like, would you rather be an optimist or just completely clueless as far as expectations are concerned?
I'd rather go and have the no expectations thing. I'd rather...
Me too.
Because the other one, you'd like... always getting disappointed, but you're always like, oh, this new thing's coming along. Well, this isn't going to disappoint me this time. This is going to be great. This is actually going to be the best. Oh, no, this is crap again.
Yeah, like Up All Night by One Direction. I mean, I went in with high expectations, and boy, did they let me down. I cry myself to sleep every night, except I don't sleep.
Well, it'd be quite nice being freed from expectations.
Yeah, that was a good question, I suppose, if that's what they meant, which they definitely didn't.
Well, I don't know.
Anyway...
We'll never know what Mr. Andrastos meant.
No.
This other person has a slightly more normal name.
Oh, good.
And a slightly more generic question.
Oh, good.
Matty Thompson writes in.
That's still weird. Matty Thompson, that's just... Carry on, sorry. Sorry for that outburst.
You just like criticising these people's names.
It's because they're so...
He asks, if you were God for a day... What would you do?
Smite.
Smite. Who would you smite?
Everyone.
Just why?
I think I'd kill everyone except one person, and then I'd watch them in their panicked state. Like,
that'd be quite good.
And I'd turn all the dead people into zombies, and it's basically just...
I Am Legend.
That film, but yeah, I Am Legend.
So you're being omnipresent as well? That would take some getting used to, I reckon. Yeah, I don't know whether you'd be able to get used to that in a day.
But if you were omnipresent, or you had omni-whatever...
Omnipotence.
Then you'd just be used to omnipotence. Then you'd just be used to it straight away.
I guess so.
Because, but then omnipotence doesn't work because there's the theory that analogy or scenario that you can. The problem with omnipotence is
it's paradoxical.
Yeah, so you can create a rock that can never be lifted, but then you can also lift any rock.
Yeah.
Oh god.
It's a general idea, so it just doesn't work.
I was about to say I'd test out the age old scenario of, but seeing whether I can make myself some food so hot I can't eat it.
Well, that's a pretty boring thing to do, I guess, but...
Well, I don't know. Maybe I'd just move all the continents around, because I quite like people, so I wouldn't want to kill them all.
Well, lucky.
How old?
But it would be quite funny just to mess with a bunch of stuff. I don't know whether I'd want to do any great good, just because...
I saw a tweet this week that said something like, wasn't it funny when God gave humans free will and then he smited them when he didn't do what they wanted? They didn't do what he wanted.
Well, that's not really how it happened, is it? Like, well, I don't know. Let's not get into religion or anything. I mean,
he gave them free will and he gave them the freedom to choose to do something. And just said and told them the consequences of their actions, and then they did the thing, got the consequences. So he really just created a rule. Yes. He gave them one rule, and they broke that one rule.
One rule to rule them all. One rule to ring them all.
He said, "Welcome to the Garden of Eden. The first rule of the Garden of Eden is don't eat the apples in the tree.
No smoking."
There's actually scores of rules. I'm thinking of writing a book.
Oh, well, anyway, go a few episodes before we got onto religion. Well, next question. It's just
Gordon Quincy writes in.
Oh, for fuck's sake, Gordon Quincy.
I've never met anyone with the second name.
Carry on.
Asks, is there anything you would willingly give your life for?
A sandwich.
A sandwich for you or a sandwich for someone else?
No, for me.
Well, that's
just leave it in my coffin.
Just make it out of my arms.
Would I give my life for anything?
I think I would. Would I give my life for another person? Probably not.
Well, if things got bad enough, I'd give my own life to stop being alive. So I guess the answer is yes to that question.
You'd give your life for yourself. That's a rather selfish thing to do.
Yeah, I'm an entirely selfish being.
Would I give my life for anything?
It's tough because you obviously can't give it for a physical object and.
My girlfriend listens to this, so for the sakes of that,
mine too.
I would give my life for her if it meant she would live.
I'd give my give my life for a sandwich for Zoe. I guess would be the combination of your two.
If Zoe was a bit hungry, you would kill you would die so she could have a sandwich.
Yeah, I'm quite nice like that.
You also just aren't very good at haggling.
I'm quite melodramatic as well. Apparently.
Oh, I'm hungry. Fine.
She's just like, I'm slightly peckish. I might fancy a sandwich. Just like,
well, now Zoe will never ask you to make her a sandwich because she knows the consequences.
I'm not sure she takes anything I say seriously, like, and I'm not sure anyone should.
Henry, can you go make me a sandwich? Oh no, not today, Zoe. I have so much to do.
Not today of all days. Anyway, is there a next question?
Yes. Hang on.
So much fan mail. I mean. The fans are really racking up on numbers, aren't they?
This might be the most ridiculous name yet.
Oh, fucking hell.
Sorry, I'm going to have to build up to it because it's making me laugh just looking at it. Darby Mounts.
Darby Mounts. Darby. Carry on, Darby Mounts.
Asks, if you had a crystal ball that could tell you the truth about any one thing you wish to know, what would you want to know?
That's a tough one. That is a good question.
So it could be about yourself, about the universe, future, everything. But you can only ask one question.
To the NHL lockout this year.
Fuck's sake!
You have used your one question.
Yay!
That was such a lame thing to ask the crystal ball. It's so difficult. I'd have to spend many hours deciding.
We don't have many hours.
I'd try and make a question that would encompass a lot of things.
Well, tough. You can only ask one thing, and you've got like 10 seconds to think of it.
Okay, is there any point in me
asking
doing
a question?
This degree?
Is there any point in asking this question?
Can I have another question, please?
No.
No, shit. Okay, well, I guess
you'd have to ask, like, the winning lottery numbers or something like that. Something clichéd.
You wouldn't.
I know, it's
but
so cliché.
Lame, isn't it?
I would.
You
Where's
could
my sandwich?
Like, about religion and things, but
You could just say ask which religion is true, and but then you'd be just if like because I'm kind of agnostic, so if they just said none of them, I'd be like, oh well, I kind of fine.
Well, I would be like, I suspected that anyway. That would not be a question.
No, it'd be kind of, you would consider it a waste of your question, because it would be like, in your opinion, it'd be like saying, is Sesame Street real?
Well, that's quite a vague question to ask the crystal ball.
What is the airspeed of a fully laden swallow? It'll probably just ask you African or European.
Yeah.
And then you've run out of questions.
But it asks you a question.
Yeah.
Imagine if the crystal ball, the all-knowing crystal ball, asked you
a
question.
Are we just talking about Siri here?
Well...
No.
Okay. Well, that was quite a successful question, I think. Good question. Derby Banks?
Derby Mounts.
Derby Mounts, that's it. Yeah, good question, Derby.
M-O-U-N-C-E. Yeah.
There was someone in my psychology class
with
second name Mounts. Called Danny, actually.
So maybe they've got a sibling.
Well, this person Derby Mounts, so maybe they're related.
I won't ask
Derby
him.
Derby and Danny Mounts. Maybe they're twins. Okay. Next question.
That's all the questions.
Oh, cool.
That's all the questions we've got.
We're at the end of the road, guys. I swear we had something else. Oh, no, that was questions. Jesus.
What?
I mean, we could do them all again.
So,
speaking
guys,
different voices.
What are you wearing?
I'm wearing black jeans, my grey Akoda t-shirt, and no socks again.
I'm just
wearing
my grey tracksuit bottoms and nothing else. Yeah.
Oh my god, that's grotesque. I wish you hadn't told me. Oh, edit that bit out so I don't have to listen to it again if I choose to listen to this.
There'll be nothing but that.
Oh, that would be shit. So, Ed, need I ask? I mean, it's pretty obvious. But what are you wearing?
I've sort of got kind of like a little black dress with fishnet stockings.
You're wearing your Halloween costume from a couple of years back.
Oh, no, this is more of like a cocktail party kind of
evening wear
attire. Yeah.
I'm not a prostitute tonight.
This is casual clothes.
Well, this is just podcasting clothes. It's either naked or women's evening wear.
Do you still wear a smile when you wear the women's?
No.
Okay, no smiles at all then. Okay, so here is our rendition of Visiting the Zoo, a 1929 episode of Popeye, the radio play. Edward, if you'd like to start us off.
All hands on deck, here's Popeye.
I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. I am what I am because I am what I am. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man.
Midst peanuts and popcorn, we find Popeye, Wimpy, Olive and Matey visiting at the zoo. All hands are having one grand and glorious time. They just walked up to the camel's cage.
Well, blow me down. Has yous ever seen the likes of such a peculiar animal?
Gosh, Popeye, those humps in his back look just like your muscles. Or something along those lines.
Ha ha ha. If I had muscles that big, I could never get me shirt on.
Okay, I'll also be Olive then.
I heard that a camel can go 9 days without water.
A trivial thing. Going 9 days without hamburgers would be an accomplishment worthy of my admiration.
Wimpy, you's just plain ignorant. Dumb animals never eat fried hamburgers.
Perhaps that's why they are called dumb animals.
Popeye, do you think the camel would like some peanuts?
1929 was a slow year.
Popeye, I asked you a question. Do you think the camel would like some peanuts?
Now you has me stumped, matey. I know squirrels and elephants eat peanuts, but I never seen a camel eat them.
Well, I'll see if this one does.
I am proud of you, matey, on account you wants to share what you got with utters. What?
What you've got with others.
Ah, I see.
Here, camel, would you like a peanut?
In camel language, he means desist, stop, quit that.
Be careful, matey. Don't stick your hand in the cage.
He wouldn't hurt me, but I guess Popeye's right. He don't like peanuts.
What if I were in the cage and the good public came to feed me hamburgers?
Come on, all hands, aft to the elephant cage so matey can feed him to the peanuts.
Da-da-da-da. Oh, wait a minute. Look at that funny animal. Do you hear what I hear?
Well, I am a blasted swab. If that funny looking mutt in the cage ain't a laughing at us.
He's a member of the laughing hyena species.
You mean an animal that can really laugh?
Now I ask you, Olive, does that four-legged hoop sounds like he was crying?
Well, for land's sake, what's he laughing
How
at?
How much of this are we going to do?
I don't know. It's quite
it's
long,
dead already.
It?
It's a 20-minute programme, right?
He is just in Popeye's face.
I've lost where we even were.
I says pooey to you, Wimpy. You ain't never won no beauty contest.
Is it alright if I completely change my character's voice?
Does the hyena laughing mean a dog barking? What?
Well, it's about the same thing, matey, I figures.
I think maybe you ought to figure a way for the elephants to eat peanuts.
Hooray, for once, Wimpy is thinking about someone else's stomach.
Put a pear, I were a noble soul.
We sets a course straight for the elephant's cage.
Popeye, elephants are awful big. I wonder if one bag of peanuts will be enough.
Well, matey, we make sure. We stops at the stand and buys more peanuts. Ahoy there, 6 bags of peanuts for matey here.
Oh, here you are, kid.
Thanks, vendor.
Go. Oh, gosh, I read that as an A. Gosh, thanks, Popeye.
Forget it, matey. What can I buy you, Olive?
Yeah, boss, we got sponge cakes, angel cakes, and stomach ache.
Oh, dear, I'll just have a glass of lemonade.
Okay, lady, coming right up. There you are, kid.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. That sizzling. That beautiful fragrance. That intoxicating aroma.
What are you talking about, Wimpy?
Look, amidst the lonely frankfurters, like lordly hamburgers.
So they is.
Popeye, you're a fiend. Peanuts for matey, lemonade for Olive. But what? Oh, what for Wimpy?
Ha ha ha. So, did you want peanuts?
Peanuts. Peanuts he offers me. Popeye, this gentleman also sells the hamburgers.
Oh, does she want a hamburger, Wimpy?
It's always with me. How can you be so cruel? I'm craving for those luscious hamburgers. Has me faint.
Fender. And now back to our dramatic reading of Popeye.
If there wasn't anything in that segment, it means it was all edited out.
Total tripe.
And with that tripe, I think we should end the show.
Yeah. Well, that was the Loose Bag for Wednesday, the 20-something of October 2012. 24th. I hope you listened again. It's goodbye from me. Goodbye from Ed.
Goodbye.
And goodbye from Henry. Goodbye, everybody.